Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. We welcome you back to the airwaves of Radio Islam International. Alhamdulillah, once again, a beautiful Sunday. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the rest of the day go beautiful. And inshallah, we have a good week coming ahead as well. This is the weekly panel discussion that we have on a Sunday. It takes place, it used to be actually a bit longer. It used to start before. It used to commence at about 10 o'clock. It used to go from 10 to 12. But we are trying to streamline things a little. And in this discussion, we will try and keep it a bit shorter. But inshallah, a bit more focused, and inshallah we can still derive the same amount of benefit, if not even more, during these discussions. Now, we do know that this last week saw the commencement of schools, primary schools as well as high schools had opened in this week, and children have returned to schools. Now, what happens in schools is you have this bullying and you have this teasing that takes place. Most kids actually, they have been teased by a sibling, sometimes by a friend. In some point of their life, there has been this interaction and this teasing and this, these things that have went on. Normally, it's not very harmful. Normally, it's not some things that are done out of the norm. But there are times when because it's normally just in a playful manner, in a friendly manner, in a mutual way, both kids, both sides, they find it a bit funny, they laugh it off, and it is there, it is done, it is finished. But there are times when this teasing becomes a bit more hurtful, there are unpleasant words, unkind words, etc., that comes across, and it can even become a problem when it's done consistently, when it's done repeatedly, when it's done too often, and then what happens is that you cross a line. Now, this is what is the very important part in Sharia. And if you look in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hujurat has given very clear, very pinpoint instructions with regards to teasing, with regards to name calling, etc. I'm not going to go through the entire discussion because we have our panelists that will be coming on and they will be taking us through the discussion a bit more further. But anyway, as we said, that to an extent you are allowed to call people certain names, certain friendly names, certain kind names and kind words, etc. But it's very, very important that we have to know and we have to keep in mind that there's a line beyond which we cannot cross. Once you step over the line, that is when it can become bullying. Now, bullying happens at different stages across different lines. It happens with children, it's very common, but it can happen with adults as well. For today's discussion, we're not going to go into the adult bullying and the workplace bullying, etc. We're going to concentrate on the children's bullying. And as we said, with schools commencing in this past week, that's something that we're going to take a look at. We would like to welcome our panelists on the discussion this morning. And our panelist is Maulana Dr. Suleiman Ibrahim. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana, how are you keeping this morning?
I'm doing well, thanks, and yourself?
Alhamdulillah. Maulana, from the onset, we would like to thank you for availing of your time, making this time available for us, and inshallah we can benefit.
Jazakallah for the opportunity, and I think it's a very valuable and important discussion on bullying.
Maulana, if we can go now straight into the discussion, we have given the introduction. It is child bullying that we will be discussing. Maulana will, inshallah, enlighten us much more. To start off with the discussion, if Maulana could maybe explain to us, the different types of bullying that take place amongst children as well as teenagers.
Gee, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think before we go into the discussion of the types of bullying, as Maulana mentioned earlier, that sometimes it's just a bit of friendly banter between children. Sometimes it's just a little bit of a conflict. Those things happen amongst us, and we cannot regard those as bullying. So what is bullying? Where does it be that we cross the line where now come into the realm where a child is now being compromised? Otherwise, as children, and I think I remember from those days, the good after school sorting out issues, and it was done. Essentially, bullying has got three issues to it. And if we keep those three elements in mind, that is when we can understand that when a matter is being regarded as bullying, or otherwise just usual children having their conflict and resolving it in their own manner. The first one is that it is repeated and habitual. When this kind of behavior, a child is being traumatized or is being tormented or assaulted on a repeated basis, when we can start saying that this has crossed the line. Second thing that you have to see there is an aggressive power imbalance. So where two children in the class, both of the same strength, same similar abilities, similar race group or no difference, and they're having a little bit of a tough or a quarrel, it doesn't cross the line into bullying. But when you see one child is weaker, or if a child has a disability or something that is different about the child, and that child is continuously bullied, then you start seeing this imbalance of power. And that is the second important consideration to consider it as bullying. The third one is that there's aggressive behavior. So it's not just a matter of children trying to sort out their issues. It's not just a matter of children fighting over a toy or something. You see the one party displaying a very deliberate and aggressive stance and trying to humiliate the victim. So taking these three into mind, we understand where bullying crosses the line from usual aggression and conflict in children into the realm of bullying. The first one is repeated and habitual. The second one is that it's aggressive behavior. And the third one is that there's a power imbalance. Keeping this in mind, then we can go on to the different types of bullying and understand how this is done and what happened. Broadly speaking, bullying is divided into four basic types: emotional abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse, and then finally the new category is cyber abuse. Just to give some examples of it, and Maulana alluded earlier to Surah Hujarat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a lot of social guidelines, and in there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not call one another ugly names. Do not refer to one another in derogatory terms. This is verbal abuse. So verbal abuse, it consists of all these things: teasing, name-calling, inappropriate comments regarding a person's physique or a person's looks or a person's race or any of those other things that are intended to humiliate the person. And also threatening a person is part of verbal abuse. So verbal abuse is basically all those words, and verbal abuse transcends into cyberbullying also, because a lot of it is not necessarily words, but sometimes you can send a person a message on WhatsApp and that could also constitute bullying, because you are now using the same words except that you are typing them. So verbal bullying, I think, is very easy to understand, that when we say or we write mean things. And believe me, children can write some very nasty things that we don't even appreciate, especially when the person being bullied is someone who has a difference in terms of race or country of origin, gender, appearance, or if they have some physical deformity. Some children can become very, very nasty towards it. The second type of bullying is social bullying and or emotional bullying. And here it's where you don't say bad words, but you deliberately cut that person out of the group. You start making a little group in the class where this child is now left out. He is the outsider. You tell other children don't be friends with that child. You spread ugly rumors about the child. Or you embarrass the child. So these are all social or otherwise emotional abuse. And sometimes emotional abuse, especially in teenagers, we see it. They are very vulnerable because at that age they're trying to find themselves and they're struggling with defining their own identity. So they are very, very prone to emotional abuse. As young child, generally they overlook things and they don't understand the grasp and the importance of things. So for them the emotional abuse is not that great. But some of it can be very, very devastating. And the old adage, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can't hurt. I think today's words are more detrimental than physical abuse. Then we get to physical abuse, and that is where you hit or you kick or you punch or you cause physical harm to the person, tripping the person, trying to take away their things or trying to damage their things, stealing their textbooks, anything of a physical nature, even making rude gestures, just trying to put the person in a compromised position. And the last one of the four is cyberbullying, which is to use technology to harass or threaten a child. And this is one of the most dangerous ones, because here a lot of the children find anonymity. They can hide behind a mask. You can create your own Facebook profile or a different Facebook profile, and you can go all out humiliating a child, and nobody else knows who it is. And with that anonymity, or with that impersonal difference between us, a person is able to say a lot more things than he would have said if he was physically present. So cyberbullying has become a very, very serious problem. And the other thing is, often we have WhatsApp groups, and you have the whole class on there. So a nasty comment said there is not like a nasty comment said in the class, maybe 2-3 people hear it. Here the entire class is privy to that comment. The entire class sees the humiliation, and sadly some of them then start joining in on the thing, and you get what we call mobbing, where a group of people led by one individual then bully a child. And this is so severe and so devastating to the child, it really becomes very difficult for a child to deal. So in a nutshell, those are the types of bullying: the physical, the social, the verbal, and the cyberbullying.
Jazakallah for that, Maulana. Jazakallah for the very beautiful explanation of these different types of bullying. It is obviously, as Maulana has said right from the beginning, these are very, very serious things. These are things that we need to educate ourselves and educate our children, but we will go through that in a little while. Maulana, one of the problems that now comes about, it's a very, very, very common problem that we see happening with children all the time, is that, you know, they at times they feel a bit scared and a bit threatened, and they might have other reasons as well why they will not bring it up, why they will not complain, why they will not tell and inform their teachers or their parents for that matter, that, you know, they are actually being bullied in whichever of the different types, as Maulana has explained. Now, for children, or rather for the parents, for the teachers, would there be any signs, would there be any behavior traits that the parents and teachers could pick up and could notice?
Definitely, Maulana. There are signs, and usually a child who's bullied does not come forward because he's already compromised, he already has a bruised ego. He really doesn't want to go and complain, and sometimes the bully threatens him that if you go to the teacher, I will do more harm to you. So they are very, very afraid of going to authorities or going to their parents. And this is one point we need to emphasize, that our relationship with our children must be such that it is on a friendly basis. Not that we are friends, you know, on their level, but we have such a relationship that they have no fear to come to us and say to us that this is what's happened in my life. And we look at the example of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, when he saw the dream that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars prostrated before him, he did not go to anyone, he went straight to his father. And this was the relationship that existed between father and son, that it was one of openness, that he felt free to go to his father, and he felt comfortable to tell his father that this is what I'm experiencing. When we create that kind of open relationship, then we will find our children will not hesitate to come and tell us that I'm experiencing this problem at school, or this is what's happening. And sadly, in our busy lives today, we have very little time to spend with our children. We don't sit and engage them. Both parents working, you come home from work, you're exhausted. Child has come home from school. It's very easy to put him in front of a screen, whether it's the little one from the iPhone or the big one from the TV. And we don't engage with the child. So we don't inquire about their day, and we miss a lot of the signs that we should have picked up. Just a point of digression on this. In terms of statistics, because sometimes we think bullying is not that common, or it doesn't happen. In our school or in Muslim schools, it doesn't really happen. But I was looking at a survey conducted by the Boston University, which was the international one. And it was found in South Africa, 44% of children reported being bullied weekly. And 34% said they were bullied monthly. This is grade 5, Maulana.
Sure.
And this is an international survey, and we rank amongst the worst of countries in bullying. In grade 9, 47% reported that they were bullied monthly, and 17% said they will be bullied weekly. So it is a serious problem, and it's not something that we can say, no, it's not happening to my child. No, my child goes to a Muslim school, or I know all the, it happened. Some of the signs, just to keep our, you know, what's about us, when you see that a child comes home with unexplained injuries, maybe clothes are torn, something is missing, and then you ask, and the explanations don't fit in. No, I tripped and I fell down. Every day you're falling down, that's a bit of a problem. Every day you're tearing your shirt, that's a problem. And as I say again, because of our lives are so busy, we don't look into the problem. Just shouting, be careful, next time don't do this. And we lose sight of what's happening. Often they complain of headaches, stomach aches, feeling ill. They don't want to go to school. In a survey done in America, they found that every day, 160,000 children stay at home because they're terrified of being bullied. That's a frightening number, Malana. You stay at home because you're scared of being bullied. Other things you notice, changes in the child's eating habits. They don't eat or they overeat. They start becoming depressed. Or sometimes they come home from school and they're starving because the bully took their lunch. They have sleep disturbances. They don't sleep. They have nightmares. Very often, we see their grades at school dropping. So that child who was an A-grade student is gradually dropping, and we're not taking cognizance of the fact of what's going on here. We shout and scream at the child, you need to work more, you need to watch less iPad. But we're not asking the child, what's happening? Is there something wrong? We see the child becomes antisocial. There's not so many friends. Friends who used to come don't come anymore. Or he's not willing to go to his friends. If there's an invitation to some or other function, he doesn't want to go because so-and-so will be there. You see other things like the child starting to feel his self-esteem starts deteriorating. Gradually, the child loses confidence in themselves. They start becoming weaker as human beings, and they start withdrawing into themselves to the point that it almost starts looking like depression. And finally, if we're really not paying attention to this, they start doing things like attempting suicide, running away from home, talking about suicide. Usually suicide is not a very big risk with these children, but if it gets serious enough, then it's found that those children who have a tendency to be depressed and are bullied, those are the ones who commit suicide. In America, the other phenomenon is that these children are the ones who then go out and commit school shootings. We've seen so many of them in the past years where a child walks into the school with two guns, three guns, and just empties them into the entire class. And we don't often investigate what happened before. So the telltale signs are there, but to underline it, we need to engage our children. We need to ask them what's happening. We need to be their friend, very much like Yusuf alayhi salam was a friend with his father, Yaqub alayhi salam.
I think that's an amazing point that you brought in there, that relationship between the parent and the child. You know, it's so crucial, it is so important, and it is so necessary, as Maulana cited, the very beautiful example in the case of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and his father Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. What a pure relationship that they had, that the son was able to approach his father and relate things that he was seeing and experiencing to his father. And inshallah, if you will try and develop this relationship with our children as well, if they are going through any difficulties, they will be able to approach us. You know, it's very important that as a parent, you should be approachable to your children. Well, now you know, taking the discussion a bit further, what happens if you do find out, you know, if Monona explained the signs that you will see in your child that will tell you that, okay, you know, there could be a problem here. Now, if you confirm those signs and you find out that your child is being bullied, as a parent of a child, what do you now do?
Okay, the first thing is not to become reactionary. It's very tempting if you found out your child, your little princess was beaten at school or she was pushed down the stairs, it's very tempting to go there and, you know, beat somebody up, scream, swear, shout, without getting all the facts. This doesn't help. It really doesn't help until, because the situation has not been resolved. Sure, you might go there and threaten somebody or even threaten the child who bullied. But we need to work in a coordinated way, find out what happened, and again, start with engaging the child. What happened? Who's doing this to you? Why are they doing this? Get the whole details from our own children. And believe me, children are not stupid. They will be able to give you a lot of insight into this. And they will tell you, this child is bullying me because I'm friends with that one and they want to be friends. And you start understanding the situation. Then we need to start doing a few things to our children to educate them and to make them almost bully-proof. We need to give them the tools so they understand that certain things are not acceptable. We need to teach them politeness. We need to teach them akhlaq. We need to teach them good morals, as our Nabi alayhi salam explained to us. But that does not mean that your own rights can be compromised. You cannot be oppressed in any which way. You should not have to endure something that is not, that is not normal. So, one of the few things that parents need to do when you find out that your child is being bullied, either the school has informed you or some other parent has informed you, sit with the child. If you have that relationship, they will share with you some amazing insights into the situation, and you can deal with it in a much more mature and adult manner. Otherwise, if you think about it, what difference is between us who go there and bully the bully and threaten him to the person who's bullying your child? There's no difference. You have no, all you have done is reinforced in your child's mind that this is how we deal with bullying. We bully. So, start with the school, ask them what's going on, what is the problem, what have they seen, and if you need to engage the parents of the bully. Difficult situation, because often parents refuse to accept that my child bullies. For us, every one of our children are the stars of our eyes, they're the most perfect creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They really have no capacity to do wrong. And we overlook them. So engaging the parents, maybe through the school, or maybe through another intermediary body, that might work. Or if you find them to be reasonable people, you can approach them on your own. Then you need to empower our children. And we need to teach them how to deal with things. And at what point, sometimes, I mean, they cannot also be reactionary to everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us our own guidelines. Uzil afu wa amur bil urfi wa aghrid anil jahilin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, adopt mercy. And you know what? Just turn away from those who are ignorant. So sometimes you need to teach your child that this is the best way. When they start with you, walk away. Because a bully also needs to know that he's getting to the victim. He's reaching, he's humiliating the person, he's making them feel inferior, he's taking away their self-respect. That is one of the prime things of bullying. You got to, when we look at the bullies, you will see that many of them want to feel big because they also have bruised egos. So teach our children that what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. Even to the extent where if you find that sometimes walk away. Sometimes you need to say clearly, this behavior of yours is unacceptable. Or especially with verbal bullying, you can make a comment to the, tell your child, tell your friend, this is not, what you said was ugly. What you said was mean. Because often what happens is children, and particularly girls, they don't resort to the physical violence, but they start making ugly comments, demeaning comments. Comments that are hurtful, and you have to teach your child that when it hurts you, say it. Say to your friend that I don't like this, and if you carry on with this, I'm not going to be with you, I'm not going to associate with you. So that child also starts knowing that there's a boundary and I cannot keep pushing. The other thing that we need to teach our child is that they must come and report to us or report to a educator or the principal or anybody when something like this does happen. And explain to them that the consequences that they've been threatened with, that they will be thrown out of the group or anything, those are small in comparison to what when you are being bullied. Children need to know they have rights and they have the opportunity to stand up to bullies. They might not be physically strong, but if we made their inside strong and if we empowered them with knowing that they are also human, they have rights, then they will feel that, yes, I have the right to stand up. Because one thing we look at in children who are bullied, often they are children who have very poor self-esteem, children who are already in a weakened state, children who have maybe a disability that has compromised them. We need to educate our children that, sure, you might have a birthmark across your face, but that doesn't make you any less of a human being in Allah's eyes. You might have a deformed finger. That does not make you a deformed human being. And we need to empower our children and teach them that this is what we need to do. So in summary, in dealing with children who are bullied, and the other thing is, reading a lot of the psychologists' views, they said don't call them victims. Because victims, it puts you in a position of weakness. That you are the victim of bullying. Rather call them children who are bullied than saying they are victims, because victim is a very disempowering word. We need to give our children words that empower them, that you are normal. There's nothing wrong with you. You have the ability and you have the right not to be bullied. So firstly, engage the school, find out what's happening, don't be reactionary. And secondly, engage with your child and try and strengthen their own moral fiber that they are able to deal with the problem. And then thirdly, where it's becoming problematic and the child is facing physical harm, then you need to intervene with everything possible, whether it be police, whether it be legal. You cannot leave your child in a position where he or she is being physically abused to the point that it's causing severe bodily harm.
JazakAllah for that, Mulana. As our listeners are aware, we normally have two panelists on our panel discussion, our weekly panel discussion. Unfortunately, this week, initially in the beginning of the program, we had Mulana Ahmed Aku lined up to take part in this discussion as well. But unfortunately, due to some technical errors, initially we were unable to get hold of Mulana. But I do understand that Mulana Ahmed Aku is on the line with us. Mulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mulana,
our sincere apologies. Due to the technical error, we were not able to get hold of you initially, but alhamdulillah, you are able to join us now. To both our panelists, JazakAllah for your time. Unfortunately, I see that the time is running out very, very fast. We have roughly about 12 minutes left, and with that, we still need to take an ad break, so we're going to try and have to keep the answers a bit more shorter so that we can go through the entire discussion. Mulana, if Mulana was probably listening in the last part of this discussion that we have been having, if Mulana could hopefully explain to us, you know, what are there any effective ways to make your child bully-proof?
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد all praises due to Allah سبحانه وتعالى peace and salutations be upon Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم الحمد لله مولانا I've been listening in so far and our respected مولانا has shared so much of wonderful pertinent points for us to benefit from but when it comes to this aspect of making our children bully proof then as parents we can do as much as we can but ultimately we also make dua to Allah سبحانه وتعالى that Allah سبحانه وتعالى make a positive effect in us embarking on this, which is very, very important. And it's something that we need to start from a very young age when it comes to educating our children and conscientizing them about this important aspect. And it's also a fact and a reality that we cannot ensure that our children are completely bully-proof, because they might still find themselves in situations where they will be confronted by other individuals or other children that might bully them in some way or the other. But I think the most effective way, and I respected the Maulana Suleiman has already touched on this to a certain extent, the best weapon or the best way that we can equip our children with is a strong self-esteem and also a sense of security, especially within the home. Many, almost everything that we need to inculcate in our children, in fact, in the youth or the youngsters or the children of the Ummah, everything starts from within the home. That's very, very important. And remember, people who bully others, they prey on weaknesses of the others. And sometimes they prey on this because they themselves don't have a strong self-esteem, the bully themselves. So they prey on this weakness. And when a child has a very strong self-esteem within themselves and that is inculcated within the home, then immediately this becomes a deterrent factor for the child being bullied or also for the child bullying someone else. Any child that is confident will immediately be able to escape being bullied and will also not tolerate being bullied and will not bully others. So it works two ways. When we inculcate a strong self-esteem in our children, then we basically solve the problem both ways. The child will not bully others and the child themselves will not allow themselves to be bullied in any way whatsoever. And also, when a child has strong self-esteem, the child will never hesitate to report immediately what has gone wrong. And this is something that we need to inculcate in our children. But more importantly, I think this sort of message also needs to go out to educators as well. We need to be listening to children. Yes, sometimes it is difficult, especially in a school setup or a madrasa scenario, whatever it might be. When you got 30 kids in a class, sometimes it becomes a bit difficult. Every child is complaining and every child is coming to you with some problem or the other. But when we are in a position of being a guardian of a class, I know sometimes this is a great challenge. I mean, we have 3-4 kids or sometimes 5 kids at home, and if every 5 minutes a child is coming to you with a complaint, we know eventually sometimes we just switch off and we're like, okay, right, yeah, it's one of those things, and we ignore the child. Never ever ignore any report that comes to you from a child. Listen to what the child has to say, because I've noticed this over the years that many a times the common complaint from the child is that, okay, what's the point of us reporting it because nobody is listening? We tell the teacher and nobody did anything about it. So the strong self-esteem leads to a child immediately reporting or speaking out against their rights being violated in whatever way, or whether it is them being bullied or anything like that. Immediately a child will report the wrong that has been done to them, and they will not tolerate it in any way whatsoever. And we also need to educate our children on what constitutes bullying behavior, and we need to stress to them the importance and value of spreading love and kindness to everybody, and they need to be examples and role models, and this can be found in the life of the Blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to educate them and conscientize them about the seerah and how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam interacted with everybody. There is that element of tolerance and overlooking, but there's a limit to it when it comes to us as individuals, because sometimes if we take the aspect of tolerance and overlooking the faults of others, it also does not give the right for other people to continue usurping our right and oppressing us in some way or the other, and we keep overlooking. We've got to draw the balance in this important aspect.
JazakAllah for that, Mulana. Malik Suleiman, so back to yourself now. Taking the discussion now, you know, if you flip it on the other side, one is we did discuss, as Mulana explained very beautifully, you know, to what extent we can adopt these ways, effective ways of making your child bully-proof. And Mulana yourself, you did explain that, you know, if your child is being bullied, what to do, how to deal with that type of a situation. But now if we have to flip the entire discussion onto the other side, what happens if your child is himself or herself, they are now the bullies, they are bullying other children? How do we now deal with the situation?
Mulana alluded to it that if we give our children the self-esteem and if we build up their own egos and they appreciate that they are wholesome beings, then they will be less likely for them to bully. If we find out that our child is bullying, again, we do not need to be reactionary. is very tempting, and as I say, because every child is the apple of the parents' eye, we rush in there and we blame somebody else. We start complaining that this child has been, this other child was at fault. Let us listen very carefully to the situation. And very often, bullies have a underlying problem. Bullies were not born. They did not. They were not created with that kind of aggressive behavior. Something has gone wrong in their whole psychological makeup that they feel the need to humiliate or oppress others. And that has to be explored. Merely holding a child back and say, the next time you're aggressive, this is what will happen. He'll hold back the aggression, but these are the ones who will then grow up because the underlying problem has not been resolved. Often it is there's conflict in the home. The child does not know how to express it. He does not know how to vent his frustration. Perhaps he is being humiliated and being abused at home. He does not know how to express that. So he then starts abusing others. We need to find out first, is there an underlying problem? Is there a disability? Is the home a comfortable home? Is it really a home or is it just a house? And some other things we have to find out from the teachers, how is my child's behavior at school? And then sit down with our child. And again, the relationship is paramount. If you have a relationship with your child, they will listen to you. And if you explain to them the harm of bullying and the harm of causing distress to other human beings and how it is does not fit in with the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salam, they will gradually appreciate that. And also listen to the child. Maybe there's some frustrations on the child's part and find some strategies to say, okay, my son, how do we deal this? Or my daughter, how do we deal with this? Other than you going resorting to this violent behavior or this type of behavior of humiliating others. And then one very important thing is the home. Children learn with their eyes. You can give them the longest lecture on good character, but if we do not portray that character, the children will never learn. If we ourselves display good akhlaq at home, if we display how we deal with conflict, that is what a child will learn. And if we put that correctly across, that there will be conflict, but this is how you deal with it, inshallah, the child will deal with it in the proper way. And teach them compassion. Teach the bully how to deal with, whether it's got a pet or something, teach them how to be compassionate. And teach them how to have rahmah for others. Go with them to go and give poor people food. Those kind of things inculcate a sense of compassion in our children. And as Maulana said before, make lots of dua for them, give sadaqah on their name, and in this way we will be able to change the track of a bully person.
JazakAllah for that. Maulana Ahmed Saab, we do understand you must have researched this topic thoroughly. Unfortunately, we have run out of a lot of time, so we're going to take the final question that we will address to you. Maulana can answer the question. Maulana can give his closing comments as well. And what we want to look at is probably some of the causes that leads a child into becoming a bully.
I think this is something that Suleiman has touched on already. But just to add on to that, how can we, what causes or leads a child into becoming a bully? And as Maulana also mentioned, sometimes it's a problem lurking within the child themselves. And also, communication with our children is the only way that we will really come to know a lot with regards to our children. And we will also uncover many things that we did not know. And I think this is something which is lacking greatly in society. We're living in a time where even though we all living in one home, it's as if we're worlds apart. We don't even know our own children. Life is hectic, we all have our responsibilities, etc. But I think with the social media and with technology evolving, we have reached a stage where sometimes we're living in a home, but we don't know when was the last time we really sat down and had a chat with our children and interacted with them. So interaction with them is something which is very, very important. We need to find time, whether it's every single day that passes in the week, at some point or the other, there has to be what we commonly know as family time, where we sit and we speak to our our children and we interact with them and we give them a chance to speak. We need to know what is within the minds and hearts of our children. We need to have discussions with them. It's not only about ordering them around and us doing the talking and them only doing the listening, but sometimes I think we need to change it around and we need to listen to what they have to say, because when we listen to what they have to say and they are also allowed to speak what is in their mind and in their hearts, then only will we come to know what we need to know regarding our children and as parents. But what leads a child to do these sort of things can be insecurity, can be low self-esteem. And when a child is insecure about themselves, then obviously sometimes it manifests in such a way that they want to now have authority over somebody else. Because when people start to fear them, they start believing that now they are strong and they prey off the weakness of somebody else. But as Marana also mentioned, it is because of a problem within them. And the only way we will come to know is when we interact with them and we sit down and we discuss things. As serious as the issue might be, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward Marana Suleiman. I love the beautiful way that he put it across. It's not only about authority, that authoritative way of us sorting our problems. Sometimes we need to sit and discuss. It might be very serious. We got to hold back our emotion, lead by example, try and be calm. I think especially amongst our mothers and sisters, sometimes I think that's the greatest challenge for us to really maintain our composure. It's very easy to lose your composure, but then you're losing the whole plot. We've got to be very tactful in the way we deal with it. We've got to be calm, but listen to the child. Let the child ask the child that, okay, this is a problem that has happened. Explain to us what goes through your mind. Why is this happening? Initially, we will find if we're not implementing these steps, when you ask the child to explain themselves, it'll be very difficult. They'll say they don't know. I know, I experienced this. We have our young children as well. I have my kids as well. And the common answer that the child will give, I don't know why I did it. So I'm like, okay, so can I ask your body parts why they did it? Will that be able to tell me? So initially, they will not be able to explain themselves. But the more we continue the process, eventually the child themselves will be able to speak and will say, okay, I think I did it for this reason. Then you go further and explain the child why it shouldn't be done that way.
Jazakallah to Malana Suleiman Saab as well for your people's time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance. Very, very important for parents as well, teachers as well, if they are listening in. It's very important that we keep these things in mind. We should be able to identify these things. We should have that type of relationship. If you're a parent with a child, if you're the teacher of the child, you should be able to have that amount of focus within the child that you can realize that there is something going on with this child. This child is either bullying other children, you need to deal with it in a certain way, or this child is being bullied by others, then there's different ways of dealing with it. JazakAllah for the listeners for listening in this week's program. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects our children both ways, from being bullied and from becoming bullies as well. Really, we need to be the ideal heroes for our children. We need to teach our children, inculcate within our children these beautiful qualities, the qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. We conclude this week's discussion. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.